You may be seated. Thank you, Brother John. For those of you that are in Christ today, the only way it can be well with you is in your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace inside of your heart without being obedient to Him. Those of you who are outside of Christ, you will never have any kind of a peace. Now, I know that you'll deny it to me, you'll deny it to others, but I assure you, when you're alone, by yourself, you look yourself in the mirror and are very transparent with yourself, you will come to reality that there's no peace inside of your heart. You have to understand why God made you. He did give you the power of choice. He wants and desires a relationship with you. He did that. You will never have peace. Well, that's not really a good deal. Well, He made you. You're here. You're experiencing life. He's giving you the choice of whether or not to have peace or not have peace. You cannot have peace. You cannot have peace without Jesus Christ. And those of you that are in Christ, and you have the delusions of grandeur, thinking that you can continue to disobey Him when you know what you ought to be doing, you will not have peace as well. You won't. Again, just like the person without Christ, you'll look at someone and says, I'm fine, I'm fine. No, you won't be fine until you obey Him. Whatever that is for you in your relationship with the King. Because once you've tasted the King never lets you go. That's the amazing power of the Lord God in our lives. How many of you have ever heard of Anna Jarvis? Well, I don't know why you hadn't heard of her. I mean, just because she lived back in the 19th century. She was the first one to suggest of having a national observance of mothers. When her mother died, she loved her mother so much on May 10th, 1908, that everyone that came to the service got a coronation. And she started talking about that. And it slowly became a reality. On May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress. Now those of us who keep up with political things, the act of Congress can't do squat today. And yet they did something back then. On May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson, how many of you remember? How many were alive during Woodrow Wilson's time? He proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. The proclamation, a public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Started in 1900, and we've been observing it ever since. Because of one person who loved their mother so much. One person. It is amazing what one person can do. And you may be that person to do something so big and so great. And one of the greatest things that you can do for those of you who have your mothers alive is that you now, right now, can appreciate her. I didn't say you may necessarily agree with her all the time. I just said appreciate her. For those of us whose mothers are gone, we would tell you to appreciate the time that you can have with your mother. And that's just not one time a year. It's not one time a year. You make an effort to reach out on a consistent basis to your mother. Many of you know that children will say all kind of interesting things. The school teacher gave the children an assignment. The school teacher wanted the second grade children to answer the following questions. Here are some of the questions. Why did God make mothers? Why did God make mothers? One child said, mostly to clean the house. Another one said, to help us get out of there when we were getting born. Another second grader said, well, she's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is. The next question was, how did God make mothers? You can tell this was a boy. He used dirt, just like the rest of us. God made my mom just the same, like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Next question, what ingredients are mothers made of? God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. One dab of mean. It just seems like I was getting that all the time. But anyway. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? God knew she likes me a lot more than the other people's moms like me. Great. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom, and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, my guess would be pretty bossy. What kind of mom? What did mom need to know? This is great. Listen to these three answers here. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? One child said his last name. Another girl wrote, she had to know his background, like he is a crook. Does he get drunk on beer? And the third one said, does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Oh, my goodness. Why did your mom marry your dad? This is the best answer I've heard. My grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Oh, my goodness. Who's the boss of your home was asked. Mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to be because dad's such a goofball. These are second grade children responding, right? I guess mom's the boss because only because she has a lot more to do than dad. What's the difference between mom and dads? This is terrible, but so true. The child writes, Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Some of you will get that later on. Well, what's the difference between moms and dads again? Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. The difference between moms and dads, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. What does your mom do in her spare time? Number one answer of the children. Moms don't do spare time. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Diet. You know, her hair. You thought it was something else. Well, on the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Great about children. Well, the last question was, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Well, she has this weird thing about keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. Amen. Amen. Here's the third one. I'd like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. Open up your Bibles to Matthew, the text that we just had with the children. It's going to be a little bit different of a sermon. It's based on some things that we talked about last week, and let me just quickly go back to last week's sermon about unusual service. And today's sermon is unusual service, and I want you to see, if you will, the correlation. There is a major correlation, and it's going to take me some time to bring this correlation out. There's a correlation between Jesus and mothers. My first time ever seeing this was this year, as I was thinking about Mother's Day, and the Lord drove me into the passage about Rebecca, about the Rebecca principle that we talked about last week in Genesis, how Abraham got his slave to go and get a wife for Isaac. And he goes and says, give me a blessing today, Lord, that if I ask the lady, she'll give me water and give my camels as well. And so Rebecca comes out and offers water to the servant. And then she says, can I water your camels? Remember how many camels? 10. And we had Darren and Ronnie go up and down with the water. We had discerned that camels drink anywhere from 20 to 30 gallons of water. It'd be about 200 gallons of water, and trying to go back and forth with gallons of water, how long it took her, you know. We had talked about how she did more than what was expected of her, and we talked about how in our society that it seems that we don't even do anymore what's expected of us. We just kind of, and again this week I saw it. It was amazing. I saw it again this week. I referred to you, and I want to be fair. When I had talked about recently going to a Cracker Barrel, I saw the young person behind the counter of the phone. This week, I was in the Centerville Kroger, and I kid you not, there was an adult, never greeted me. I go through the fast check lines because I'm used to doing things very quickly. So I was going through there, and there's a lady there. She's on her phone. She never says hello. She never says goodbye. She never says thank you. And it was a senior adult woman just blasted on the phone. So I want to make sure that what's happening out in our society is happening across the board. That imagine if you owned a company and you're paying someone anywhere from $7, $8, $9, $12, whatever it is, or on a salary. Imagine them coming to work and them getting on the phone on the job. How you would feel about that. So it's happening across the board. But here was Rebecca. She kept on going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And she was taking care of some camels. Think about it. Think about it. And we talked about her extraordinary service and how that she became the future great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. And while I was on that, the Lord just gave me these thoughts. It was just, wow, there is a correlation between Jesus and mothers. It's an extraordinary correlation. And it is so incredible. When we look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, where it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give her life as a ransom for many. Being a mom is not easy, is it? The story is told about one woman who said, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories. You mothers can relate to that. It's just amazing. Some of you are just just amazed that you can raise your children. If you have two children, you can raise them in the same way. And you think they'll turn out the same way, but they're completely, utterly different. If you're a mother, you know that motherhood can be messy and at times extremely exhilarating and extremely exhausting. Wait a minute, let me say that again. Moms, it's okay. I want you to respond. Let me say that again. Moms, you know, at times it's extremely exhilarating and extremely exhausting. Amen. There you go. There are no foolproof formulas. Children are different. So today it's appropriate just to talk about and bring out this idea. Here is Jesus, and we're talking about his service. And now we're going to talk about mothers who serve, and I'm going to give you three ideas the Lord put on my heart on how both of them mesh together. Number one, let's get started. Number one, serving will take your time. Now, as I'm going through this, every single mom is going to be saying, yep, yep, yep. It's about time, preacher, you recognize that. Serving takes your time. And moms know this all too well. There is little time in a day for a mother because of the tremendous acts of service that they do. Even now, with 76% of individuals that are married, 76%, 76 families out of 100 are two-income families. 76 out of 100. It is absolutely extraordinary. And what I said about the second graders is so true, isn't it? When the moms come home from work, they what? They continue what? Working. When the dads come home, not in all cases, but when the dads come home, that used to be, I don't know what it's like now, when the dads come home, they stop. In some cases. I don't know if it's changed. I don't know. So here we see that serving will take your time. Now you got that? Now, let's think about Jesus. Jesus left heaven. He left heaven for human years, 33, approximately. He took time out of the angels calling on his name and everything at his beckoning finger. He took time out away from that to come down to sinful humanity. And serving still today takes time. And that is the precious commodity, not only for precious couples of two-income families, but really in everything. The world is demanding more and more of what? Your what? Time. You remember that the cell phones and the emails are all we're supposed to give you more discretionary time. And now all you hear are people are just absolutely just so pressured to keep up with everything. And that's why in the church, service is at an all-time low. And the seniors have a difficult time understanding that. But so seniors, please listen. It is a different time. When you were growing up, your family was not pushed like families are today. Morality was not knocking on your doorstep. They were not pushing down the doors. You didn't have to look at the school systems and say, are they going to be on our side? They're not on the side of the parents today. They are against the family unit. They are pushing agendas of humanism and a different lifestyle. They're pushing it. And these precious families are already working 76 of 100 or working dual, and they have to deal with that. Seniors, you did not have to deal with that. So you did have some time. And the time upon, the pressure upon the young couples, the middle-aged couples, are extraordinary. So serving will take your time. And most of your moms are saying, duh. It has to be said, because Jesus served and moms served. Number two, serving will produce inconvenience in your life. Do moms know about inconvenience? And for most moms, they do handle it so well. And I commend you, the late nights of sickness, that little innate thing that God put in moms, that you know you can hear your child's whimpering, and you go, and you inconvenient, and yet you have to go to work the next morning, and you lose hours and hours of sleep. How often do you alter your plans because your children or family need you? And guys, that's something that we need to learn and watch. That are the wives or the mothers always inconveniencing their plans when you sit there and you don't do anything to grow yourself? You don't do anything to help her, and she's always compromising. And you're saying, well, I don't know how to do that. Boy, I almost let it out. Guys, learn to do something, man. It's time for some of you guys to change. Change your mindset. Well, it was never done that way before. Man, that thing is long. Man, that thing is done, buried, and in the hole. You guys need to stop dumping on your mothers. Stop dumping on your wives. And you need to be responsible. You need to know what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you a pet peeve with me right now. It's a pet peeve. And I know every home's different. But for men not to know the financial affairs of their home. Men, listen to me, I say this lovingly. Shame on you. Shame on you. Now, maybe your wife is better with numbers. I understand that. Just like you're better in other areas. But you ought to be aware of what's going on financially in your home. And you can learn that. Man, Siri is amazing. Hey, Siri, what does this mean? It's amazing, right? We got all this technology. So there's things that you as a husband, I can learn. Things as a mom you can learn. But the thing about service will produce inconvenience in your life, your plans. Now, let's talk about Jesus. Think about Jesus' life. Was his life inconvenient? Did he go out of the way? Of course he did. Of course. You ever think about why Jesus, the first saying on the cross, on the second saying rather, the first saying was forgiveness, the second was about the mother? Because Jesus knew that moms served. Jesus knew that it took time. Jesus knew that moms would be inconvenient in their life. Can you imagine, it's so funny, right? Can you imagine, what man wants to be picked on right now? Anybody? Any man wants to be picked on? I don't want to pick on you. Man. Thank you, Father Wobey. Can you imagine? He had some reluctance. Now picture this. This is great. Can you imagine Fawobi walking around pregnant? I mean, that would just look. Imagine what he would be talking about. Imagine what he would be saying. And those of us, we're clueless when our wives get pregnant. We just say, well, you know, she's acting weird, but she's okay. What? She's got a living being living inside her. And guys just go, what's the big deal? Whoa. You imagine being pregnant for 9 months? Imagine putting your life on hold for 9 months, Fawobi? No, you just want to hug your wife right now? There you go. That's kind of a weak one there, buddy. Come on now. There you go. Get my head all right. Yeah. Okay, serving will take your time. Number two, serving will produce inconvenience in your life. And here's number three. If there is one big one over than the other, talking about this unusual service, it's this one right here. Serving will give you a better perspective in life. A better perspective in life. Yes, service. Those of you in the audience here today who have stopped serving, you have lost perspective in life. Everything about you is about you. No one else. When you stop serving, you start within. And looking more within. Being here as long as I have, I've seen a lot of people come and go. And the one trait that I've seen of the selfishness of church members is the inability of them to give their life away in service. And listen, 10 out of 10. I didn't say 9 of 10. I did not say 8 of 10. I'm not saying 3. 10 out of 10 who stop serving become so withdrawn in themselves. And life is about them and them only and everything. They become critical of everything. Because what happens when you fail to give your life away, your perspective in life changes. But as you give it away, your eyes are not so much on yourselves. Your service opens up your eyes to life in all sorts of ways. I just got to share this because I was just blessed. And I said, Lord, it just touched my heart. It just happened. I said, Lord, well, I'll wait. I was saying, Lord, I'll wait to share that. No. And the Holy Spirit, you share that right now. I was just so touched. And as I share this, I am not trying to embarrass this person. But I want to tell you that his service just really touched my heart. And you may not even know it. And I feel that you need to know it too, Linda. It just touched my heart. We had this unique Bible study, and the Lord put on my heart to put the women together. I didn't want to ask women this year to teach, and so the Lord had given me, in my sleep, all these ladies and the questions and all. And so I said, we're going to have this unique Bible study, and I put it together. Brother John helped me to type it out because I didn't want Stacy to see it. I didn't want her to have the easy answers in advance because she'd be telling, I got all the questions, you know. And so John helped me out with it, and so I got them started and left and went down to the music room. I'm minding my own business. And I'm hearing a voice. I come out in the hallway, it's Jim Lemke. And he's with your son. And he's strolling your son. He's strolling him down in the hallway. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just taking him out for a walk. He likes to hear the birds. And Jim, that blessed my life. Jim, that blessed my life. If you don't know who John we're talking about, tell her about what John is. I mean, what's his yes. Will you please, I can't say any of that. Will you just tell everybody?
He has spina bifida and hydrocephalus.
And you came to America because why?
I came to America to try and help him medically because back home in Nigeria, there are no facilities for him.
And all I could think of, he was a guy that you never met, was taking an interest in your son to take him outside and just talking to him. And he's just looking around. Now that just blessed me. Did you know he was doing that?
Yes, I saw him through the window.
You saw him? Sit down. But some of you didn't know that. That was just a blessing, Jim. That Jim just didn't let him sit in the nursery, you know, and he puts him in the chair and he wheels him out and goes outside. And that just, because he was trying, and I just said to him, I looked at him and I said, man, are we not blessed? And he says, man, yes, we are. See, his service or your service helps us to get out of ourselves so we can see things differently, okay? And that's what moms do. You know, those of us in our audience here today who are just awestruck by a mother's love. Now watch the correlation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so love. Now watch this. For moms so love their children that they will never, ever, 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 ever give up, no matter what. Last night I read the great, great story of a mother, a Christian mom. Because the story was so long, I chose not to read it this morning because I would not be able to get through it. A Christian mom who raised up their son to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And something happened to Stephen. He got in a long group of people. And before he knew it, he was in the lifestyle of homosexuality. Before he knew it, he was living up in New York City. And in a short period of time, he'd come down with AIDS. This is back a long time ago where AIDS was just on the forefront and the medicine and all that. And she tells the story of loving her boy in spite of the choices that he had made. Great touching story. And again, just validated what I'm trying to communicate with you today. Is that Jesus is his love. And the reason why Jesus spoke to Mary is because the love of mothers is so Christ-like. That they know that when they serve, their whole perspective changes. That's why moms give 15 million opportunities for their son, and dads have a struggle with that. Because their moms are serving. It is, think about it. The very first time, this is correlation, the very first time mothers get pregnant. Now watch this. They start what? Serving another. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Right in the belly, they start serving. So when they come out, wow, they just continue it and continue it. And their perspective changes. I don't have that, you know? I don't have that. Guys don't have that. That's why ladies, moms, they're so unique. And the correlation like Jesus. The love that they have is like the love of God through Jesus Christ. So moms, I commend you today. I commend you that you take time. I commend you that you get my inconvenience. And I commend you that your perspective is so different because of your service. Don't let the winds of Satan in our culture take that away from you. That's why the scriptures say, as children rise up and call you blessed. My daughters don't call me blessed. But they call their mama sometimes blessed. That's because they've seen something in the mother that they don't see in the father. And that's the way it was intended to be. That's the God design. That's what God had the design for. That's why moms, you can't help yourself sometimes. Oh, you drive some of us guys batty. You know, you just look at things so differently because of your love of service. So I want to encourage you to keep on serving. Keep on serving. And keep on doing what the Lord's called you to do. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? A mom's love is much like the love of Jesus Christ. Without service, there is no love. Jesus had unconditional love for all of humanity, much like a mother has unconditional love for their children. That's the correlation. Thanks, moms, for demonstrating to us tremendous love through your service. Father God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, that we can continue to learn, continue to appreciate you, Lord Jesus, and appreciate those that you have put in our lives. This morning particularly, the mothers that you have given us. Lord, words cannot express my gratitude that my mother had me. I'm very thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us can grow in appreciation for our mothers, regardless of where they are. But may we as children give appreciation and love to them, for they have given us so very much. Every head bow, eye closed. My friend, if you're sitting there today and the Holy Spirit of God has made some things clear to you about this whole idea of unusual service, and somehow you think you can go forward in life without it, you really can't. May you allow the Spirit of God to convict you this morning. That'd be a great thing to do. And whatever that means for you, would you just get right with him? Go ahead and get right. Don't worry about what that means. Just go ahead and get right with him and say, Lord, forgive me. I'll put you on the shelf for a while. Forgive me, Lord. I come back to you. Maybe there's someone here today that the Holy Spirit of God has made it clear that you need the love of Christ inside of your heart. You've been wrestling with it for quite some time. But you're here on this Mother's Day, and God has is speaking to you. Jesus said, repent and believe. Repent, agreeing with him that you are a sinner, and believe in who? Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right where you are, you can simply commit Jesus today in the name of Jesus. Something simple, but something that you mean with your heart. You say, I repent. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. And I would be the first to want to welcome you right here today. Your mama did not have you in secret. Your mama loves to tell everybody, this is my son, this is my daughter. They're proud. Well, today, if you've given your heart to the Lord, you stand up for him. He's proud of you. We'd be excited for you. In just a moment, I'm going to finish this prayer. You come. Stand up for Christ. If you received him today, or maybe you've drifted away and you're coming back to him, you want to tell somebody, it'd be my joy to help you. This altar is here if you want to come and pray. If there's any mother or wants to bring their child, or any child wants to bring their mother to this altar, yes, I know that you can pray where you are, and you can certainly do that. But the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do something different. Just want to let you know, this altar is, you're welcomed here. You're welcomed. You're welcomed. Father, have your way. Have your way in this time of invitation. As we move, if we need to, move publicly. Allowing you to continue to move in our hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus, would you stand?